Sean, this is my first time with the new table.
Do you like it? The new furniture here in the podcast room?
It gives me much more room.
Yeah, we do have a lot more room, that's for sure. I do appreciate the room. And so thankful for the new podcast table, that is for sure.
Exactly. But we have a pretty big holiday coming up.
I mean, it's the most important holiday here.
I'm trying to think
here.
Of a better word than holiday.
It's the most important holiday. I mean, for us, it's not a holiday. For the rest of the world, it's a holiday. Resurrection Sunday. We call it Resurrection Sunday. Absolutely, is the church. Yeah. The rest of the world celebrating Easter.
Yeah.
And, you know, did you guys do anything as like kids for Easter?
My parents would hide eggs in the yard. Yeah. And we still do it. We still do it.
Yeah. You still have like an Easter tradition, don't you?
Yeah, we hide eggs in
Do you got cash in them now versus candy?
No,
or what?
Actually, we used to get quarters and stuff in them. Now we don't. Now we get candy.
It's been a long time since it's been a long time since I've seen a quarter, to be honest with you.
I found one the other day. Me and Caleb found it, and I think it was fraudulent.
Yeah.
He still has it. We were inspecting it. But besides the point.
Yeah, Easter.
There's always a competition for who gets the most.
Hey, so when are our services, Resurrection Sunday?
Well, it starts on Saturday.
Okay,
6
what time?
6 p.m.
All right.
Sunday would be 8:30 and 10:30, and Life Kids is available birth through fourth grade.
And it's
not child care. It's
Saturday
teaching.
And Sunday.
Not child care. Don't say
service.
Child care.
Kid
here
services.
We here we go.
Our kids are in service, and Duncan is one of their pastors, one of their teachers, preachers up there.
I wouldn't say a pastor. Also, all three services are all the same. So it's not like Saturday night is a special,
Pastor's going to be preaching the same message, same songs, everything's the same.
Yeah, in case you were wondering,
Yeah, and we've kind of geared the mass services for visitors. You know, each service is going to be just an hour long or so, and it'll be changed up a little bit. But listen, this is what I know. I think it's 82, 84. I think it might be even, it's 80-something. I should have looked the stat. I told myself I was going to look at stat before the podcast, but 80-something percent of people will come to Easter service if they're invited.
Wow.
That is a fact.
0% will come if they're not invited.
100%. Yeah, 100%. So here's the thing.
I made that stat up.
There's nothing like Easter service when you've actually invited someone. You've not experienced Resurrection Sunday until you've invited someone to come with you and sit next to you during the service. There's nothing better that you can do as a Christian than come with someone that is far from God, hasn't been in church for a long time, has never been in church, all those kind of things. And so it's really important. And I went to this. I was obviously at Jake's wedding this last weekend, which was incredible. And I was down in Arkansas. And Shelly ended up jumping into a church on Sunday morning called SoCo. Really cool. I'm definitely going to connect their pastor and our pastor. They're like of the same mind, but
not South County. What's it stand for?
Souls and community. So their mission is like, win souls, be in community. So very, very much like Life Community Church. And they had just got done. They just jumped into a brand new building. But anyways, the pastor, he did such an amazing job communicating about why it's so important. The Sunday before, obviously, why it's so important to invite people to Easter. So these invite cards. So the rest of the day, my family and I were mountain bike riders, so we were riding bikes. I invited as many people as I could to SoCo Church. I was like, come on. Like, it's great to invite people to church when you love your church. And here at Life Community Church, we love our church. It should be easy to invite people. So don't come alone. Sorry, I'm going to steal this whole podcast about not coming alone. Easter Sunday, right, Duncan?
No, it's a good message. All right, cool. It's a good message.
Don't come alone. Not come alone.
As you probably saw in the title, we have a guest today.
We do have a guest today.
It's the legendary, the one and only.
Yes, sir.
He's one of the leaders of the retired guys. I won't say old guys. I'll say retired guys.
No, what's Pastor call them? OGs?
The OGs.
Yeah, the OGs.
Mark Burke on the podcast.
These guys get things done here during the week. I'm telling you, like, there's a lot of stuff happening during the week by these guys. And so,
exactly.
Mark's kind of like their ringleader, right,
he
Mark?
Is.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm there.
Mark, how long have you been attending Life Community Church? How long have you been here?
I think 2.5, almost 3 years.
That's it? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Kelly's been coming for a long time.
Now, Kelly is who for the listeners?
She's my daughter.
She's
I'm
your
sorry.
Daughter, yeah. How many kids you have coming here?
Two.
Two kids?
Because I have two.
Because you have two. That's it.
Two girls.
Both of them are here.
There you go.
Yeah.
And how many grandkids do you have coming here? Let's see if you can get the number right. I don't know it, so.
10.
Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. That's what it's all about.
12 of the 10.
Yeah.
One's the other one's in Texas. Yeah. 10 of the 12.
10 of the 12.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get a little bit into your salvation story, but Mark, tell us a little bit about why or how you started coming to Life Community Church. Was it because your girls were already coming here? You want to be with your family? Or obviously, you've been in church for a lot of time, a long time, you know?
Yeah. We had been coming to, God had moved us from a church in Fairview to a place in St. Louis. And then there were some things that went on over there, and then God moved us again. And we went back, and that was a mistake, to the last church. And then we just decided at that point in time it was time. So we came here, visited, and we loved it.
Right.
And, I mean, it helped that Kelly and the kids were here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, his grandparents,
his
parents. The other
daughter wasn't here, Krista. She wasn't here yet. But we loved the leadership, the preaching, and just fellowship, everything. And so we just – we knew this is where God wanted us to go.
So was that when the new building was already built? Or was
No. We were in on helping build the building. We were here on cleanup and everything.
So
you were one of my broom guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Pushing water.
That's when
pushing
the OG water. Started.
That's when the OG
that's
started.
Pretty much. That's right.
Yeah. That's one thing I love about your family, and Mark, and they obviously learned from you, from your daughters and all your grandkids. I'm always willing to call them for help because they're all in. They jump in. They get the job done. I absolutely love it. And so good job. Good job. And so, but anyways, hey, so you volunteer a couple different places. You've been a life group leader. You help out with the prayer team. Are you on the security team?
Yes.
On the security team. Yes. So you do a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we probably should start paying you pretty soon, shouldn't we?
Probably not.
Probably not. I mean, if you love our new baptismal tank, Mark is the mastermind behind our new baptismal tank.
And the other guys.
Yeah. And the painters. Right. And the painters.
Yeah, the OGs. The painter, Larry, was me and Jerry, we were just the flunkies.
Mark doesn't paint. That's his motto.
No. That's why we left that up to Larry, and Larry did it all.
I love it.
Larry and Gina. Let's throw Gina in because I know she was behind it.
Yep, that's true. You got a good team, and we appreciate
they're
all
awesome.
You guys do.
They're awesome guys.
Yeah, it takes everybody to get this done.
Yes, it
and
does.
So, hey, so tell us a little bit. How long, when did you, we'd love to hear about your salvation story, and how many years ago did you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Well,
remember when it was?
It would have been 40. Probably about, I'm 65, so it would have been about 44 years ago, approximately.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Well, you know, we started out, and I wasn't really.
So your 20s, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And.
Didn't grow up in a Christian home, or you did?
Well, Catholic.
Okay.
And that's not a bad thing, but then again, it's not the best because they teach you things that aren't appropriate, you know, and there's no relationship. I never got a relationship.
So tell us about, like, you grew up in a Catholic home, sounds like, and in your 20s, you personally made a decision to follow Jesus. You went from, like, you know, obviously death to life on the series that we're in, Pastor Jamie, this Easter series, but, so tell us a little bit about that, you making Jesus your own, like your salvation story.
Well, we kind of right after I got married, you know, I feel because I used, you know, I drank and I did drugs when I was younger, you know, and so as I got married, I started to realize that alcohol, well, the drugs I'd quit already, but the alcohol wasn't going to have any place in the home because it was just too much disruption.
Gotcha.
And I came from and sort of Rhonda from alcoholic backgrounds, you know, parents. So, you know, I
just
noticed,
grew up in that world,
right? And I just knew that there was. It wasn't going to work. And so we made a decision. And when we come out of the Catholic Church and went into the Pentecostal Church.
That's a jump.
What a jump.
Yeah, it was. It was a big jump. But you know how God makes that happen is we lived in a small town, and there was a preacher there that had a small Pentecostal church there. And so we become friends with him, and then that's how we started to make the shift.
Gotcha. So it was a personal relationship with your pastor that helped you.
Before you even went to the church.
Mm-hmm. Before you even became a Christian.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow, that's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, we were already kind of, we believed in God, but you know, I mean, really. Yeah. And as.
You grew up in the church. Right, you understood God. You understood the Bible.
Just didn't have a relationship.
But there was no personal pursuit. It wasn't personal to you.
No.
Until you got married and then you realized there were some things in your life that weren't going to work. And why weren't they going to work? Like, it didn't work with God's plan, didn't work with your plan, like...
Well, you know, there's... Alcohol brings all kind of disruptions.
Yeah.
And you know, you cannot continue to do the things you used to do when you weren't married, when you get married, because you've got another person in the house, and that doesn't work. So I knew that that was never going to make it, you know, and so I made a decision. And then I wanted to change some of the things that I saw the way I was raised that I didn't agree with, you know. And so we started to shift gears, got out of the Catholic Church, went into the Pentecostal Church. And I still kind of didn't have the leadership. You know, I'm a pretty in-your-face, straightforward kind of person. But I still lacked with God being a wimp in that part of life. As far as looking at me, you would have never known that. But
the what leadership— What do you mean being a wimp? Like you weren't expressive, you didn't communicate it, you didn't talk about it?
I did, but I lacked in leadership in the family in real strong at first. You know what I'm saying? I allowed wavering. You know what I mean? A little drift here, a little drift there. And when I look back, I say, wow. You see where all these problems and all these issues were created that never needed to be. And you know, that's – I mean, the past is the past. You can't change it.
Right.
All you can do is share with other people, you know, why you wouldn't do some of the things you're doing. You know, and that's one of them. I wish I would have had a more – because I didn't have the, I had the personality already. I didn't have a problem with getting in anybody's space to share. You know, that was never an issue. It was just
the know-how.
I didn't have the backbone of Jesus Christ to stand up for the word, to beat me down, which is what needed to be beat down.
Wow.
You know, because when you know how to do everything and anything, you become kind of arrogant in your own way. And I was.
Wow.
Even though I never had a lot of good jobs, I just was still arrogant because I knew I could do it.
Gotcha.
And so you don't really depend on God all the time. And it took a while to weed that out, years, you know, to – and I still struggle with it sometimes, you know. But
– So how was – for a person that would, you know, like – obviously I know your heart and I know you won't take this the wrong way. But for a person that realized that they dealt with arrogance, how did Jesus – and I think a lot of men, like not specifically arrogance, but a lot of men, the standard of like, hey, I know how to do it. I know how to fix it. I can take care of it. Pride. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's easy in that place to say, I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. You know, and obviously you wanted to make some changes, but why was that? Why did that push you into leaning on Jesus, going after God? You know, why didn't you just fix alcohol yourself? Why didn't you just fix your family yourself?
You know, I think God allows... And he did me to screw up everything because of my pride. You talk, you know, because that was a big one, you know. And I think he allowed me just go ahead. That's what you want to do. And it took me down paths that had a lot more pain and suffering that needed to be. And, you know, in the end, I just finally realized I can't do this.
Wow.
You know, I just can't. And I just finally one day just broke and I just said, I've had enough.
Yeah.
And at that day, I just said, you know, and that was probably 10, 12, maybe 13 years in our down in a marriage that I'd already been saved from, that I finally got it, you know. Yeah. Because, you know, you get into a humdrum of life, you know, raising kids, going to work, go to church, you tithe. We've always tithed, always. That was never a question. That always happened. And God give us the ability to go beyond and help people, you know. And I believe that's how— in the end, God helped us get where we were today, you know, because of what we were faithful.
Yeah.
And I can share with anybody anything. It's tithing is everything.
Wow.
Because when you let that go, I mean, everything starts to fade away because then you realize that I don't have it. And then God started paying bills that I didn't have the money to pay. And
wow.
I mean, this stuff was supernatural stuff. It's wild. And it once you start having things like this happen in your life and things that go on, you start to get that God is who he says he is. And you never, you know, I've fallen down, but I've gotten right back up, you know, but I've never started to drift. It's just been a drop and then up. And so I just, once you start to get it, I'm never going back. That's never going to happen.
Wow.
I might fall down, but I'm getting back up.
Right. Yeah. You're still human. There's still a chance of sin. Yet at the same time, as soon as you recognize it, it's true north again.
We got to go.
Yeah. It's amazing to hear you say, like, as Pastor's been talking about, from death to life, everything that you did with your own hands that I'm hearing, and even though your intentions weren't bad, even though you know, you were like, you had received Jesus, believed in him, personal relationship, you know, those kind of things. But when you chose to do things with your own hands, whether it be how you're going to be a husband, how you're going to be a father, how you're going to be an employee, it didn't work is what I'm hearing.
Nope.
Even to the point, and what really caught your eye is whenever you chose, and this is why money is such an important thing and is talked about so much in the Bible, but when you tried to grab a hold of your money with your own hands and take care of it your own way, it never worked.
No.
But when you released it and said, you know, I'm going to trust God with something that's very practical, something that's that I can see, I'm going to trust God with my finances, you then began to see very clearly, like, wow, he can do more and he can do much greater, and there's much more purpose when I surrender what's in my hands to him out of obedience.
Yeah, because we learned that the day we became Christians and stepped away from the Catholic Church, we learned tithing instantly, and God rewarded instantly.
Wow.
I used to laugh because my dad said one time, because they'd give in the Catholic Church, he'd give $25 a week.
Yeah.
And they had a school.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be tithing to that. But anyway, yeah. So I was given 10% of my pay, and it was like $100.
Sure.
And he must have found out about it, and he was kind of, are you nuts?
Right, yeah, like, what are you doing?
I said, no, I'm not. It will come back to me, I said. Wow. And I believe that, in health, and health,
isn't that,
whatever.
Isn't that true in every area of our life?
Yes.
I mean, I think that God, yes. You know, Duncan, and you chime in here, whatever, but I think that God put this idea of money in our life, so it's a very visible thing for us to see when we do what we're supposed to with it, and we understand that he's our provider. It helps us understand that in every area of our life. Okay, I'm no longer going to be, I need to change some things as a husband because God's saying it. I'm going to start doing that. I need to change some things as a father. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to change things as an employee or as a boss. I'm going to start doing that. Like, and then all of a sudden we're like, the return is unbelievable. Like, we're like, whoa, like I've never been loved like this by my wife. I've never been loved like this by my kids. I've never been, you know, seen like this at work before. All of a sudden it's like, who's this new guy, you know? But, you know, but I think, you know, because God doesn't need our money. This is not a, like, he needs our money to build his kingdom. Like, that has nothing to do with it. It seems like it has value to us because it's here and what's what you use to trade and get things that we need. But it has no value, right, to the Lord, like, at all. It's a piece of paper.
But God does more with your 90% than you can do on your own with 100%.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
Doesn't make sense, but that's the point.
Yeah. No, and it's so interesting that, Mark, you bring up like money in regards to salvation, you know, and that you highlight that. But again, as we talk about it, it's just a reminder that, like, are you surrendered to Christ or not?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that affects every area. I mean, because if you can let go of the money aspect of it, you let go of a lot of power. You really do.
When you did that, Mark, how did that change or how did that adjust the struggles when it comes to arrogance and pride?
Well, I think that it was, you know, it was a challenge still, even the money, because the money came first. I let that go right away. And then I still didn't have the backbone that Jesus wanted me to have as far as with the gospel. So then I didn't lead the family exactly the way God wanted me to lead it. So until I led it to a place to where it caused so much pain and problems, you really don't realize that your life is screwed up. You know, mm-hmm. you're just going along and everything's great, but you don't realize it, but it's not great. And
sure.
And then one day you wake up and you think, wow, this is messed up. And that's when I finally realized, you know, this has got to be all in or nothing.
Yeah.
And like I said, that was probably 12, 13 years into our marriage. And I finally just said, it's all or nothing. And I said, I don't care what anybody else does. This is it. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the way I got to look at it, is because it's all about me. It's not about anybody else. Everybody else has to make their own choices in life.
Yeah.
And you can't force anybody, because when they become adults, they make their own choices, mm-hmm. whether they've been taught right or they haven't.
No, that's good. That's really good. Yeah. Let me want to go back to the question or the statement that you made in regards to the pastor that you met, you had a relationship with. Help us understand, like, how that relationship with that pastor helped you make the transition from, and nothing good or bad. I'm not trying to poke blame or, you know, say one church is better than another church, but obviously you're in one church where you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You end up in another church where you do, but the pastor and his relationship with you is pivotal in all of that. Help us understand like how that relationship helped you lean into something completely different.
Well, it was really pretty simple. They were just loving and caring people. But then God knows that I got a hard head. And one day the priest at the Catholic Church did something to my wife and my daughter that was totally inappropriate. And that sent me into a tizzy. Gotcha. And we were done that day. And I know God knows
sure.
who you are and what it's going to take to move you. So he helps put obstacles in your path to God to get you to turn left or right. Gotcha. And I think he knew that. So, you know, when that happened, we were done. That was it. We did not go back. We ended everything right then, and we moved on, and it was the best day of our lives.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And that guy left, and then we started going to a Pentecostal church in Belleville. So, I mean, gotcha. it was good stuff.
And did you have a relationship with him before? I mean, did you just look up churches on—
Yeah, how'd you meet this guy?
I used to own a Texaco station, and he would come in, and then we got to know him and his family, and then we started to go to church there, and—
So he just started building a relationship with you by getting some gas.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a perfect—
It's incredible.
You know,
it is.
Display of what we're supposed to do as believers anyways.
Right.
Yeah. Is what he did.
Oh, absolutely. And there wasn't very many people that went there, you know, and they had the stories, you know, they're hanging from their chandeliers and all that kind of stuff.
Pentecostal
I
stories.
I used to tell them, yeah, I'm one of them hanging too, guys. But yeah. It was good. It was good. They were just good, down-to-earth people, young couple, you know, and they were just loving people, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, we say this around here a lot, but, you know, ministry flows out of relationships, and relationships take time. Mm-hmm. And that pastor obviously knew that, like, hey, I'm showing up at this gas station. There's something going on in this guy's life, and I'm going to show up here consistently, whether it was the only gas station, and I'm sure it wasn't,
No. You
know. And he built a relationship with you. And I mean, this is the most important thing we can do as we even process and get ready for Easter and even past Easter's. Are we intentionally in relationships? Because 40 years down the road, now we have a mom and dad, two daughters, their husbands, and at least 10 grandchildren that are in a church and serving the Lord.
Yeah, and the other one is too— one of the other grandson, he just goes to a different church.
Yeah, absolutely.
So almost 11. We got 11.
11, so. Yeah. So, I mean, because of a relationship that was started at a gas station.
Exactly right.
One of the cool things I think here, too, that I've seen happen is at this church life is that for youth and kids, there's been people that started coming here because they weren't necessarily maybe Christians, but they came to church. Their kids couldn't stop talking about, you know, what happened and kids on Sunday morning, the whole ride home. And now the parents are like, well, we want our kids to be in church, so we're going to start going here. And then the parent gets saved. And in youth, we've seen the same thing where there's some middle school boys that didn't grow up in church. Mm-hmm. They started coming to Wednesday nights, and all of a sudden now they're bringing their parents on Sunday morning. And so I think it works in both ways, really. Obviously, the ideal scenario, you know, the leader of the home gets saved, but I think it's cool how God's working through, you know, the youth and kids to get their parents here.
Yeah, we see that a lot. Like there's no better way to see someone their life. I mean, there's no better way. I mean, evangelism is not that difficult. It's not the street corner. It's not the bullhorn. It's not repent or go to hell. It's a consistent relationship because God's about the journey. You know what I mean? He's so about the journey. And obviously his main objective here on this earth is to seek and to save the lost. And in that, it needs to be our main objective as well as Christians to seek and to save the lost. Are we walking around in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces with the idea of relational evangelism, you know? And it's so not difficult. I mean, we think, what does that look like, Duncan, for us to have a relational evangelist? When you think about what it was like for you, and as you owned a business and there was a pastor that had a need and had a car that had to get gas. So he consistently, I'm sure, showed up. And in that, when he showed up, he found out what your name was, found out you were the owner, learned about your wife, your kids. So now he's showing up every week or every other week. And hey, Mark, hey, Rhonda, hey, Kelly, you know, and all the, how are things going? And now you're sharing stories, right? And at some point, like he's going to get an opportunity to bring up Christ when you're like, hey, listen, you know, the family's not going well. And all of a sudden now he's like, Mark, like there's a time in my life when my family wasn't going well either. And Mark's like, well, tell me about it. I need help, brother. Because now you have this relationship. There's this trust that's already been built. you know, amongst you and this pastor. And the pastor, if I don't know what this happened, but I'm just going to guess, you know, like, well, Mark, you know, like there was a time in my life when I realized that I needed to stop doing it my own way and I need to start doing it the Lord's way. And it really changed things for me. And you should consider it, you know, and it's not that, you know, it's a time period of getting to know somebody's name, getting to know their story, and then connecting your story and their story. And what I mean by that is every single one of us that are Christians have been changed by Christ. Like we've come to a place where we're like, man, I need God to show up in this in my life. There's people we work with every day that are God's wanting to show up in their life. And if we can walk alongside that individual and share our experiences that they yet not have, they might have, my family's a mess. We both have, I'm family's a mess. I'm just on the other side of it with Christ now, and they're not. And it's a much easier to help people come to Christ when they get to do it with someone they trust. And so it's so important.
And I'm sure
so
that easy. Entire time that pastor, from the moment he met you, was praying, you know, for you and your family. And now he's interceding on your behalf for what's going to happen in the future. So Mark, you've had the opportunity to do prison ministry, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So walk us, you don't do it as much anymore, I know, correct? But
yeah, that's because
of prison ministry. Is that kids ministry, junior high ministry? What is that? Prison ministry.
Adults.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you.
So what got you into that? When did you start doing that?
You know, it's kind of weird because it started back when we had the Texaco station. There was a guy that got off a bus across the street, and he was a convicted felon, just got out of prison, and I knew his girlfriend, and I felt God wanted me to ask him if he needed a job, and he did, so I gave him a job. And from that day forward, I knew, I didn't know when, but I knew then that that's where God was going to place me to pour the most of my time into people to try to help the lost in the jails. And in the prisons. And nothing started till after my ministry at home was done, which was raising my kids. But when that was done, that's when I started into the jail. I've been there 18 years.
Which in Chester?
St. Clair County.
Oh, St. Clair.
Yeah. What do you do? Like, what does that mean you've been in jail ministry?
What do you do when you go in there? Yeah. It's for the people that don't.
Yeah, what I did was I used to run the part where they do the 5 days a week, they do church. I didn't do the church part of it. I did the one-on-one, so I could just physically get into a room this size, get anybody out of any part of the jail I wanted to, and then we'd go in there and just talk.
Wow.
And it was pretty wild because, I mean, you could get people to open up and, you know, they would share things and, you know— the hardest part about that ministry was learning, and I didn't learn this till later. And God told me, he said, you know, don't get depressed, don't get discouraged, because I've given out my phone number to probably over 10 to 15,000 people, you know, because I give it to every person in the jail. If they want it, I'll give it to them.
Wow.
And I tell them, when you get out, all you got to do is call. And so that's pretty much what it was all about. And out of that number, there's only been like probably 10 to 12 people that have called.
Wow.
That doesn't mean they didn't make it. It just means that, you know, maybe they didn't want the help. You know, but at the end of the day, God—
Doesn't
God,
change your obedience.
No, and God told me, he said, listen, don't get discouraged with pouring everything you have into sharing with them and helping them, because at the end of the day, you're just watering and planting seeds. And at the end of the day, you'll know how many people made it when you make it to heaven. Mm-hmm. And that's all you need to worry about.
Yep.
Because it gets discouraging.
I'm sure.
You know, because majority of them do not make it. Mm-hmm. It's too easy to fall back into what you know best. They've
There's
molded
so much
yourselves.
Going against them.
You know.
Do you have stories of, you know, when maybe you were meeting with somebody and they were currently in prison and they accepted Christ while they're in prison?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a guy, and I know him now. We're good friends. We talk every day. I met him probably 12 years ago. He was a full-blown alcoholic, drug addict. He was in his from probably 30 years old until he was 52, 53, lost everything, just a complete wreck, in and out of prison all his life. And I met him at St. Clair County about 12 years ago. We'd talk every other day because I'd go in at least 3 days a week. We'd talk, and then when he went to prison his last time. I said, well, call me. So he did. He called me. I went and picked him up in Big Muddy, which is Southern Illinois.
Okay.
And then we stopped and got
lunch at our dinner at our lunch at my aunt's in Carbondale, and then we just talked. And then from there, we've really – I shared with him, gave him a study Bible. He has slowly progressed. He's doing great. And then the one thing God rewarded him with is he never had his daughter and his two grandkids in his life because she didn't trust him. And God gave that all back to him.
Wow.
And he will never go back, ever. You will never get him to drift back. He doesn't – he is hardcore. And he's dying now. He's got cancer. Mm. He just got told that he's got about 2 years to live, tops. And he's got a great outlook on life, still does, all about helping people, you know. And it just – when you see that happen, you know that it was worth it. If he's the only one, it was worth it.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, because that's when you see people get what you've already got, and you know what kind of joy that brings, knowing God, you just think, wow, thank you, God.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling him, and thank you, Jesus, for saving him. And it's just – so he's doing great, you know. Like I said, we talk every day, and it's just phenomenal. You know,
that's awesome.
But it's a draining ministry, yep. Just like every ministry is.
Yeah.
But if you go home and fill up every day, you're ready to go tomorrow.
Right, there you go. That's really good. That's good.
Hey, last question for you. If you could say anything, ask Mark this. You never know what's going to. You could say anything to the listeners, to your LCC family, a message, leave them with something. What would it be?
It'd be probably the most important thing is. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, make sure you get that backbone of Jesus Christ right away. Because if that is the one thing that will cost you pain and suffering in your life with your children and with your marriage, because you will stay on track.
That's good.
And you won't, you know, it's just going to help them too. It's going to help everybody.
Yeah.
And I just absolutely believe true. That's just a big focal point. If we put the boundaries in place right up front,
yep.
Nail the fence in tight.
Yep.
And then they get the ability to leave.
In my house, we will serve the Lord.
That's it.
And that's it.
And at 18, you know, when you're an adult and you get ready to leave, you got to make a choice.
Yeah.
You're going to do the same thing, or you're going to walk out into the world.
Yeah.
And so, and that's okay, you know, because at the end of the day, it is, you know, everybody's got choices to make.
Yeah.
But no, it's that's been so good. It's been good, like I said.
Cool. Well, Mark, thanks so much for joining us today.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate you and your story and all you do. And it's just good to hear, you know, the testimony of God's goodness in your life. And so do you mind closing us out in prayer?
Nope, not a problem at all. God, we just thank you for this day, Lord, this time and the ability to be able to share all the awesome things, God, that you've done in all of our lives. And we ask that you just continue to help us shine a light that is unwavering and that can be seen forever and from anywhere, God. And we just continue to ask for your power and strength to overcome us, and the ability to continue to cover people with your blood, God, and to honor you, God, every day of our lives. And in your holy name, God, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the This Is Life podcast. Our prayer is that this podcast was an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information on Life Community Church, you can visit our website at lifeillinois.org. We'd also love to see you on a Sunday morning at church at either 8:30 or 10:30.